to celebrate, banged my hands together, and went, ow! Not the celebration I wanted to give on that announcement. But and of course, Chris was laughing at me because I told her beforehand about my injury. Anyway, welcome to Ure Christian Fellowship. If you're visiting with us, we're happy to have you guys here. Thanks for worshiping with us today. A couple of weeks ago, we started this series on generosity. You kind of heard us kind of mention it already before this last song. And so we were kind of just looking at, you know, what kind of difference can we make by living generously? And so we kind of went over a couple things. The first thing we talked about is that generosity isn't just about money, okay? It's part of it, but it's not just about money. And so we looked at some different ways we could be generous in week one of the sermon series. And so we kind of talked about being generous with our thoughts, you know, how we think about other people when we encounter them, our words and how we encourage one another. Money, yes, that's part of it. But our influence, we talked about, you know, how many of us would be in church today if we didn't have someone who influenced us for the kingdom of God? We talked about just being generous with our time. You know, how many times we go through life passing through situations of opportunities and we just think, I don't have time for this. You know, and we just keep going. We talked about the idea of being generous with our attention, right? We live in this attention deficit disordered world. We're always on our phones. That's probably the main culprit, you know, that's distracting us. We'll be in conversation, and it's like, are you listening to me? And you sometimes feel like the words aren't penetrating. And then we talked about our belongings. You know, we all have stuff, but why do we have stuff? You know, is it for our own edification, or is it maybe a stewardship thing that God gives us things so that we can be a blessing to others? And so we kind of looked at that at week one, and then we were looking at from Matthew 11 last week. We talked about how developing this awareness isn't good enough. We need to move from awareness to action. And so we were saying that having a desire to do something isn't good enough. And a lot of times we feel like we have the awareness sometimes, but then we feel like we're inhibited by doing stuff. We're limited because we don't think we have enough, you know, enough resources. We don't have enough. How am I supposed to meet that? I don't know how to do that. And so one of the things that came out of that, a heavy point that came out of this passage here, as we were looking at Matthew 11, Jesus feeding the 5,000, and really telling his disciples, you do it, right? What you have is enough. The fish, the loaves. And it said, what we have plus who God is equals enough. And so we were looking at this biblical principle. With God, anything is possible. And so where do we start? We're told to start small, right? And again, so why do any of these things? Because I want to keep this out there. Why give? Why be generous? You know. And so we looked at two things here that I just keep bringing in front of us, and we want people to know what Jesus is like. I preached this probably months ago that sometimes, and again, I don't mean it to be sacrilegious, but if we're the only Jesus someone encounters, what are they encountering? What are they learning about this God that we serve? What he's like, who he is. And I don't put that on us to put pressure, but we are his ambassadors. We're called to share the love of Christ with people. And so one of the reasons why we're doing this is because we want to know that we have a Savior who's generous. We have a God who loves us, and he's gracious, and he's proven that by sending his son to die on a cross for our sins, beating that grave through resurrection. The other practical idea around this is that, look, when we take our eyes off ourselves and we make it about others, we're free to see the needs around us. And we gain perspective in a lot of situations. A lot of times, I know, you know, there's times where I can even get kind of tunnel vision and self-focused, and sometimes I feel like what I have isn't enough. And, you know, but then when I start thinking about the needs of others, I'm reminded about how grateful and how blessed I am. And I hope as we go into Thanksgiving week here, that is a dominant thought in your mind, is this idea of gratitude. What are you thankful? Maybe take time to write out a list and then just thank the Lord for all the blessings in your life. And so today we're getting to the last message of the sermon series. And so we looked at this idea of awareness, taking action, and then we're looking at this idea of impact. And so, quick question for you, and you don't have to answer out loud, but what do you think about when you think about impact? Okay? Just let that kind of settle in. When you think about the word impact, what comes to your mind? I wrote down a couple of my thoughts, and I'm going to share them with you. Maybe it's a collision in a football game, specifically this one. I don't know if any of you guys remember this. This is from the 1990 NFC Championship game. And that's Joe Montana getting hit by Leonard Marshall, defensive end for New York Giants. Now, I don't know about you guys, if you like football or not, but growing up, I couldn't stand Joe Montana. He was in the Super Bowl, it seemed like, always, or always in contention. I couldn't stand him. And he was good, I get it. And I can say that now, but I'll tell you why I can say that in a minute. But in this game, when he took him out, I was so excited. I know I shouldn't cheer for violence, but, you know, I did a little research on that. That one hit that you're looking at, he suffered a broken hand, cracked ribs, and a concussion. And he never played for the 49ers again after that game. Do you know what team he went to? Kansas City Chiefs. That's right. And that's why I began to like him. Because he wasn't in the Super Bowl anymore. And I could admit his greatness. It's kind of how I felt in recent years about Tom Brady. Couldn't stand him. And I have a lot of reasons I won't unpack all that. But when he went to Tampa Bay, I could cheer for him then. You know, I just, again, so this word impact, forcible objects come together. Maybe this comes to mind. The anticipation of hitting into something or falling. I feel bad. This is not around here because he's got a Dunkin' Donuts cup in his hands. Oh, unless it's in Montrose. So, but maybe you guys have been on this end, and sometimes the embarrassment, right, of falling in this situation is worse than the actual physical pain. Real quick story about this, about, you know, just embarrassment. When I was in college, I went to Liberty my first year in Virginia, and there was actually a ski mountain about an hour away called Wintergreen. Small little mountain, but I went and I worked for them because I wanted free skiing. I mean, why do you work for a ski mountain? So they had nighttime skiing. That's kind of where you got your benefits and all that. And so I was skiing with a friend, and we were on our last run of the night. We're at the top of the hill, and we're standing firmly planted. And I said, you know what? This is a great night. I said, I didn't fall once. And just as those words came out of my mouth, it was like a gust of wind pushed me over. And I literally fell right where I was standing. It created great comedy for my friend. But I started thinking, like, if God doesn't have a sense of humor, I don't know. Not saying he did it, but as soon as the words came out of my mouth, man, standing still, I fell right over. Oh, unbelievable. So we're looking at impact. So this is one way we can define this idea of impact. But impact, actually, as you look it up, has a couple definitions, and one of them is this. Impact can also mean having a strong effect on someone or something. Now, growing up on the East Coast, one of my favorite things is being on the water. The mountains are beautiful. I love this. I'm so glad that God has us on this journey, and we're here in Ouray. But I also love the water. That's what I grew up on. My dad and I fished all the time. We had a boat. Long Island Sound, we fished that all the time. It wasn't a summer, spring, or fall that I wasn't on the boat, and we were out in the water. And so my love for the ocean came from that. But if you've ever sat on the beach and watched waves rolling in, again, and I'm not talking about an impact watching people get knocked over. I'm just talking about the wave crashing the beach, right? You see this. It has this impact, the collision of waves when they hit the shore. But the interesting is that's not where the impact started for the waves. Crashing on the shore. The waves, as we know, are formed by the wind, by energy passing through the water, creates friction and causes waves. And we see them coming ashore. And the truth is this, that there is an impact we cannot see that is creating an impact that we can see. Think about that for a second. And this is the power of impact. Now, for all my introverted friends out here in this congregation, this is going to blow your mind. Sociologists tell us that the most introverted person will influence about 10,000 others in an average lifetime. Most introverted person. That's crazy to think. And maybe some of you guys are saying, well, how is that even possible? Well, if you've never been to the beach, maybe you've been down to Ridgeway Reservoir. You ever thrown a rock in? You ever see what happens when you throw a rock in? Kind of looks like this. Where the rock is thrown in the water, you'll notice the rings of water that start scattering from the point of impact, moving out all around it. And this is like our interactions with others. Sociologists say we have the ability to impact 10,000 people. And that's the point. Impact is about having a strong effect on someone or something. Now, just imagine if we consider being intentional with that impact. If the most introverted person is going to impact in their lifetime maybe 10,000 people, think about what you do if you're being intentional about that. Just as a show of hands, so this morning, and this is where you get to participate, how many of you guys have been impacted by someone else? All right. But here's something to think about. The person who impacted your life so deeply was also impacted by somebody else. And a person that was impacted by someone before them. And when you're impacted by another person, you're most likely experiencing what we call the ripple effect in life. And this leads me to the first point of the message today. Impact is how the gospel and generosity spreads. So let's get into the scripture here this morning. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we get into Acts chapter 2. The verses will be on the screen here. This is a good point for you to kind of stretch and get the blood flowing again. But let's start in a word of prayer. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time that we can come worship you, Lord. God, as we read your word, may our eyes be open to see how our lives can impact another. Help us to see the scripture freshly. We pray that your spirit would bring all truth and understanding to our mind and our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Acts chapter 1, we have the ascension of Jesus. He tells the disciples, basically, this is the start of going to make disciples. I want you to be my witnesses to all Judea and all the areas. But he tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And so what we're going to begin reading here is kind of the aftermath of that Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples. And we're picking up here in verse 37. Peter was preaching to a crowd of people empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And the awe came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You may be seated. What we just read here, I think, perfectly explains, or it's a great example that our Christian story is a story of impact. We see that this is a story of one life intersecting with another life that has taken us from the beginning of human history until the moment we find ourselves now. Passage also describes this explosive growth that was happening in the early church here in the book of Acts. But to fully understand the ripple effect that was taking place here, we need to understand the context of our story. In the Gospels, we're given the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus promised his followers that he would be the one to defeat death and reconcile all humanity back to the Father. And while followers of Jesus didn't quite understand this, I think at this moment, they were witness to his death and the cross and the subsequent resurrection from the dead. Acts chapter 1 tells us the story of Jesus ascending into heaven. And at this point, his followers are commanded, be my witness to the world. Tell people Jesus' story. Tell others about me. So Jesus is challenging his followers to have this impact on the world because the impact he's had on their lives. They've witnessed something great. So by the time we get to Acts chapter 2 here, we're seeing this church giving their possessions to the poor, worshiping together, enduring in the face of persecution. But we aren't seeing a standalone event. Does that make sense? We're not seeing a singular event in time here. Instead, what we're seeing is the impact of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so the last part of the passage we read, Acts chapter 2, say this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And for me, as I look at this, it might be a phrase that I think, wow, look how the church was growing in leaps and bounds. What an incredible impact of this one moment. But when we understand the context, we realize that we're just responding, they're just responding to the impact that they just experienced. And so one of the things the early church was known for was this incredible generosity. And they share their possessions. We learn that as we get to the end of Acts where we're reading. And so one of the questions I think we need to kind of wrestle with is this. Do we think that this generosity, this outflow of just love and concern for others and the self-sacrificing, would this ever happen if they didn't see the selflessness and the love and the sacrificing that Jesus made? Like we all just raised our hands a few minutes ago and said we're all been influenced by someone. Would the disciples have followed through with some of these things if they hadn't witnessed the love and the action of Jesus? And so here we are. Jesus modeled what generosity looked like. And here's the thing about generosity. As I start to think about getting into this, is generosity, when I think about the recipients of generosity, it's not always about who's deserving. I mean, when we think about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his love, dying for sinful people as a sinless person, generosity isn't about who's deserving. And this is kind of spoken about in multiple places in Scripture, but in the Psalms here, I love this passage here. It says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And I love that little tagline about fathers. I love my kids, but sometimes they can be brats. And they know that, and so can I. And I think about me growing up and the things that I demanded and wanted from my parents and things like that. Man, I was a jerk, you know? And yet I'm amazed by my parents' love. Maybe that wasn't your experience, but maybe you needed to hear this. You have a God who loves you, and he's not looking to treat you as you deserve. And he wants to be there, and he wants to show you what compassion looks like and what generosity looks like. The generosity God expressed through Jesus was the impact that created the ripple, showing the first church to be generous. But as followers, this is the point. We need to continue on that message of love. We need to continue to show people what Jesus is like, what God is like, and we need to do our part. And so in order for impact of generosity to continue, we need to continue to be a blessing to this world, regardless whether they deserve it or not. And so Scripture says this, see that you also grow in this grace of giving. Simply put, in order for the gospel to impact, for the ripple effect to continue, we have to get better at our generosity. Now, you might be feeling the flesh going, I don't know if I have enough. How can we sustain this? Is this a sustainable thing? But go back to week two. What you have plus who God is enough. What you have plus who God is enough. And so this is why the scripture goes on to say in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Why would the scripture say this? It almost seems like the Bible is giving us this permission to boast about our acts, our good acts. And it almost puts the spotlight on us. But again, if you pay attention to what this verse is really saying, is the good works that we are doing are meant to win the right to be heard. This is one of our values, again, for our church. Why do we do what we do? Why do we have these values? It's not something we just throw at the wall and hope it sticks. No, we're trying to win the right to be heard so that people can hear the gospel. So in a way, being generous maybe removes the barriers for them to hear the truth of the gospel. And so this is why we do it. But to bring it down even a little bit more, with some more definition here, one commentary puts it this way on this specific verse. Good works done for God's sake ought to be done so that they can be seen. The light of Christian goodness is meant to shine out so that God would be glorified. And this is what it's all about. Generosity begets generosity, but our generosity isn't the point to us, it's the point to God, a loving, gracious Savior. So how do we do this as followers? Well, as week one we talked about, we need to hone our skills of awareness. We talked about specifically awareness comes with time spent in prayer with the Father. Jesus was always escaping to get away before and after his day's work. Why? Because I think that time with the Father helped inform him as he went about his day's work in ministry of the needs that were around him. It created this spiritual awareness for him. And then week two, we talked about, like, awareness isn't good alone. We have to step up into action. Desire alone wasn't good enough. We need to understand that we have a big God out there, and what we have is meant to bless others, but also to help point them to Christ. And so today, we're looking at, it's about being intentional, understanding our actions have the ability to impact others. We have to become more aware, more active, more intentional. John Maxwell, if you like him or not, he writes a lot for just kind of leadership goals and principles and things like that. He's a Christian man. And he says, when you live each day with intentionality, there's almost no limit to what you can do. When you live each day with intentionality, there's almost nothing you can do. And you add in the fact that God's involved in it, watch out. We're told in Scripture the gates of hell will not prevail. We have a big God. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in each one of us. That doesn't bring a chill to your arms. I don't know what does. That's the type of power we're talking about. It's unstoppable. Last week, I began to tell you a story about a student. For those of you who came back, you get to hear the final conclusion of that. But where I'm going with the story, I just want to kind of say this before I get back into it. The point of the story is that, you know, this idea of generosity has nothing to do with money. It's part of it, can be. We're doing things, practically speaking, as a church. We're going to do another exercise here this morning that will require giving. But generosity is so much bigger than just money. Generosity can involve your time, your attention, all these different things. And so, again, I want you to think about holding contrast the idea of being intentional with impact and then the different ways we can be generous. And so I began to tell you guys last week, for those of you here, and you don't worry, you'll get the full story. I used to be a youth pastor. I was leading winter retreats, things like that, and I was in charge of everything, start to finish. I loved that. That's one of the things I loved about my jobs was the program aspect of seeing the things from start to finish, the details and everything in between, and making sure people were where they needed to be, leaders, all these different things. And we had just finished one of our night sessions, and students were invited to hang out in a room if they wanted to linger a little bit more through a time of prayer and worship. And I saw this student that I've known for a while. He was kind of one of the more awkward, quiet, shy students, major introvert, but very gifted. You know, had a gift for the arts and things of that. And I'll be honest, you know, young in ministry, sometimes I didn't want to interject myself sometimes. You know, I felt like I didn't want to be an intruder to a moment, but I felt like God was telling me to go speak and sit with this student in particular. And again, I'm having the rational argument, well, God, I got to do this, I got to do that, and things like that. And of course, I mean, you might be thinking, like, you're the youth pastor, man, why wouldn't you go? But it's amazing how many things you get distracted with in life and in ministry. And so finally, I just was obedient to it. I was like, great, this is going to be awkward. This kid doesn't really talk anyway. So I sat with him. And after a little while, we began to talk about his Christmas, because the retreat was always after the Christmas. It was during the winter break. And I asked him how his Christmas was, and he told me he went and stayed with his natural dad. His mom and dad had divorced, and she remarried, and the new father, the stepfather, was not, you know, speaking Mike's language. So he wanted to be with his father. His father, though, again, very brilliant guy, artist, but he was a drunk. And so that Christmas Eve, he threw Mike an oiled shirt, and he said, "This is what you're worth to me." And I remember hearing that and just thinking, oh my gosh. Here's this kid wrestling with his worth right now, and what he has to measure it is an undershirt that's oiled and stained. Totally breaking my heart. And I got to pray with him and love on him, and you know, the retreat kind of came and went, and I used to try to get together with him, you know, for coffee or just take him out for some snacks or whatever after school. And about a month later, he said, you know when you sat with me that night at the winter retreat? I said, yeah. He said, how you doing? All that. Good. He said, I just want you to know something. He says, I was thinking about taking my life that night. I was thinking about taking my life. And I'm here now because you sat with me. That kid went on to college, has a wife, has kids. Wasn't about money. It was whether or not I was willing to take the time and be attentive. And in this case, was I willing to be obedient to where the Spirit was leading me? The point is this: you never know how God can use the simplest gestures of generosity to make a huge impact in somebody's life. You might have somebody out there wondering where their next meal is going to come from. And God uses you in that moment. You never know the hurt that somebody's dealing with privately in their life and how the impact of just sitting with that person may change the course of that person's life. For this gospel message to continue on, we need to continue to be generous with each other and others around us. And this is how the scripture tells us, you know, who the true believer is that do they love God and do they love others? Is that a characteristic of this church, of us? So as we close this sermon series, I want to give you one other thing to think about, and it's this word legacy. Because I believe if you choose to commit yourself to the generous life, you create legacies. And so the question here for us this morning to consider, to think about as we head up these doors, is what is the most powerful legacy you can create? As Maxwell says, there's nothing you do when you're being intentional about your time. As sociologists already proved that the most introverted person can impact up to 10,000 people. What is the most powerful legacy that you desire to create in this life? How do you want to be intentional with the time you have, the things that you have, your attention, your money, your thoughts, your words? How do you want them to impact and create an impact that lasts forever? Look, if I could sum up this series, it would be this: living generously is developing an awareness that leads to action that will have a lasting impact. Again, I'll say it again. Living generously is developing an awareness that leads to action that will leave a lasting impact. Now, we might be finishing our series today on generosity and living generous. And if you come back next week, it's the start of Advent. We're going to start a whole new series on Advent and look at the different themes over the next couple weeks as we lead into Christmas Eve. But we're not going to stop being generous. All this was meant to do is to kind of kickstart a little bit of our attention to how we can impact Uray and Ridgeway and the surrounding communities here, even as far as Montrose, I don't care, Durango, if you want to go that way. You know, the point is that where you are, God has you there for a reason. And it's to be a witness for him. And so, again, we're doing some little exercise. We're about to do our next exercise. Again, a couple weeks ago, we raised close to $1,000 for all our rescue workers and emergency workers in this town. And we're going to target all their meetings in December here to bless them with food. Simple act of kindness. Last week, we did the Operation Christmas Child. A lot of you guys picked up boxes and took them back to the church there in Ridgeway. And again, think about the idea of impact. These kids who will receive those boxes, they may never know you. But the boxes started somewhere. Ended up in these hands of kids. And this week, we're going to do something very unique. And again, you might be struggling with this. For the physical responsible person in this room right now, you might be going, really? But we're going to partner with the Yankee Girl Cafe. And what we're going to do is we're going to set up a cork board, probably about the size of this pulpit. I already bought it. And on there, we're going to pre-purchase meals for people in the community. One free breakfast, one free coffee. And it's going to be for a visitor or for a climber or a teacher or a visitor or somebody. And it's going to just say, with love from Uray Christian Fellowship, be blessed. And they'll be able to just pull those sticky notes off the board and turn them into Kim or Kristen working the register. And again, why do we do this? Because we want to let them know that there's a church out there that loves them. But we're motivated by the love of God. God has been so generous to us. How could we not be generous to others? And I hope that makes people question, why would a church do this? Why would they do this? I hope it makes no sense to them. And then they come here and they try to figure it out. So we're going to take a collection in a minute. But like I said, this generosity series doesn't start because next week we have another opportunity to give. Kim, who's very involved in Straw to Bread Ministries, will have some opportunities for you to give there. So during the lunch, when we go downstairs to have lunch together, she'll have some things that you can kind of purchase that will help go to the ministry. You'll also learn about another opportunity where they're trying to build on to some of the things that they have going on already there in Africa. And so there's all these different opportunities. And like I said, we'll have opportunities to hopefully be a blessing at a nursing home. We're just checking to make sure we can come in and sing, you know. So Rick's working on that. So again, our generosity, yes, sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's just being present for people. In this last case, the last thing we'll do before we hit Christmas Eve is hopefully sing at a nursing home. It will be our voices in our time. But I hope this series embeds this idea of the power of generosity and how it can influence and shape another person for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to pray here, And then Barb is going to play a video. We played it 2 weeks ago. It's called Living Generously. And so during that video playing, you can come up. There's two plates here. This is a special collection. And again, this is going to go to prepaying for those meals at Yankee Girl. So let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. Man, I am so thankful for your love and intentionality. This design to be gracious to us goes all the way back to the beginning of Scripture. When your son comes onto the scene, it's the finalization of work that started thousands of years ago, that was meant to continue 1,000 years into the future until you're coming back. And everyone who would follow you would live in such a way to show people this great love of a Father who doesn't treat us as we deserve. God, I just pray right now that for us as a church, that we allow that to sink in, how great and deep your love is for us. Yes, that we would hold intention to things that we would hate for anybody to know about us, and yet to hold intention of the fact that you forgive that. And you want to remove that from our lives in such a way that it doesn't hinder our relationship as we move forward. That is an amazing love. And so, God, I just pray for us as individuals, as a church, we can give this world just a glimpse of that love. And I pray that we would have the awareness of the impact that we can have when we're intentional about how we live for your glory, and that we would let our light shine. And when people ask us, why do we do that? We say, because we have a God that has been so generous to us, and all that we can do is just be generous back and show you what he is like. So, Lord, we pray that you take these simple gestures that we're doing right now, the collection for the rescue workers, the Operation Christmas Child, this collection for the Cafe God, singing at a nursing home, and that you would bless these things and that you would multiply them for your glory. And God, help us to be sensitive. This is just a start. This is not meant to be kind of a check-a-box type of thing. This is meant for us to kind of help us to hone our awareness of the needs of people around us. There's all sorts of hurt, like that student, going on around us. Help us to be aware of that. And help us to get involved and take action and be intentional. So God, just bless the efforts of this church. And may this church become whatever it is that you want it to become for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.